You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Moving on to our next story, it does contain discussion of sexual violence and rape. Analysing thousands of New Zealand newspaper articles published over a 40-year period, criminologist Angela Barton found several trends present in the way rape was reported on that often contradicted the realities of the victim's situation. Angela says the topic of her master's research came about as her primary supervisor received a Marsden scholarship to study the objectification of women across several kinds of texts. Overall, this looked at how this contributes to a rape culture within society.
So I was looking at rape representation in New Zealand newspapers across a 40-year period between 1975 and 2015. And the other two components were women's magazines and pornography, also across that same time period, to show the different ways that those media forms represent women and objectify them.
And what were some of the main themes that came out of your research?
I found three major themes. So just to clarify as well, the years I looked at were 1975, 1985, 1995, 2005 and 2015. So a whole individual year of analysis, but a decade apart, just to show the shift. And I gathered a lot of newspaper articles over that time, close to 2,000 articles, and reading through them all and coming up with dominant themes that were like consistent across the 40-year period. And the three themes were stranger danger, fear rape, take responsibility. And the third one was real rape only happens to good women. And so stranger danger was the idea that newspapers were overwhelmingly reporting on cases where the perpetrator was a stranger to the victim, when we know that the majority of sexual violence is that's not the case. And I was just looking at male to female rape as well, but women are far more likely to be sexually abused by someone they know, but the media wasn't saying that. And the second one was the idea that the stories were written in a way that the woman were made to take responsibility for what had happened to them if they were a rape victim. To fear rape, to always be on guard and to protect oneself. So that was the second theme. And then the third one was real rape only happens to good women. And that's the idea that when a rape case went to trial, it was the woman's credibility on trial rather than the perpetrator's actions, and that a certain type of woman could get raped and would be treated more leniently in court if she was a respectable, well-mannered woman, not promiscuous as well. So we see the stereotypes coming through, and that was across the 40-year period as well.
Yeah, so across the time period, did you notice that there were many changes to the way that those themes played out?
Yeah, certainly in 75 and 85, it was pretty dominant around women's credibility and character. So as well as the dominant reporting and the over-representation of stranger rape, that also was really, really prominent in the 75 and 85 years, but as well as the woman taking responsibility and really her character and credibility placed on trial. Like some of the stuff that was being said by the male judges was, you know, pretty horrific around. It was almost like the rape itself wasn't even the thing on trial. It was actually more about her as a person and how many sexual partners she had, or was she promiscuous, what was she wearing? And we still see all of that stuff today. The change that I did notice was a lot more discussion around rape culture coming through from post-millennium. So like 2005, 2015, there was more articles in the newspapers around what a rape culture is. In fact, in 2005, I don't think there was much there, but certainly 2015 there was, even though the term rape culture has been around, you know, was coined in the 70s. But the way that newspapers picked up on it wasn't till much later. So way more discussion in 2015 around like what a rape culture is, whereas the early years would just like report on the rape, give the facts, and then that's it. There was no critical journalism happening.
Yeah, because I was going to say, do you think a lot of that comes out of a reporter going to court, just seeing what the judge says and just saying, okay, well, if that's what they're saying, then this is the most important part of the story. And yeah, just kind of not reflecting on the bigger picture and why they're actually there in the first place. And yeah what the point is of actually reporting back on this kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like that early, I mean, I'm not a journalism student, but I get the sense that the early reporting was purely just like a transcription from court. It was judge so-and-so said this. Of course, all the judges and defence lawyers were men. You know, certainly up at 75 and 85, there were no reports that I read where any of the legal staff were women. So men having the commentary on women's voices and behaviour. And then the reporting was often anonymous, so it was just a court transcript. A he said, she said this, this was the facts, this is what happened, that's it. And often that would be like the judge or the lawyer's commentary around the woman's behaviour and character, because all of those things were on trial.
What do you hope will come out of this research? Like, what changes would you like to see made in the way that this reporting is done?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's lots of things that could come out of it. And certainly we're seeing sexual violence reporting getting better and actually critiquing those things that men in the justice system are saying about females as rape victims. And saying that, I don't think it's just gendered as well, because, you know, female legal staff and judges can sometimes say really damaging things to victims as well. But this analysis was like looking at male to female rape, and then the overwhelming part of it as well was that men were having all the commentary around the article. So not only were men predominantly reporters in the early years, but they were also predominantly the judges and the defence lawyers. So they were having control of actually the article's voice. Whereas now with journalism, I mean, we're seeing a lot more balanced view in terms of women's voices coming through, not only in women's reporting, but also as sexual abuse victims actually having a voice in the article. Because that was something that wasn't there, and certainly in 75, 85 and 95, the real minimisation of women's voices in report, actually as a journalist, but also as a rape victim, like not having the chance to speak out or just not speaking out at all. So men were having this overwhelming commentary about a crime that happens overwhelmingly to women. So it was this really kind of imbalanced view and a really strong finding of mine as well, not as well as the three themes.
So as a reader, if you were looking at an article about sexual violence or rape, what sort of stereotypes or myths would you want to look out for if you were going to read it critically and actually think about whether this is a productive article, whether it's just kind of perpetuating rape culture?
I think as readers of news media, we always want to be cautious anyway about what's being presented to us, but particularly with rape and sexual violence stories. It's not reading it and just taking it for granted, like, oh, that's what happened. You know, because as I mentioned before, reporting is about getting the juicy storyline and such. I mean, it certainly was a while ago, but, and, you know, it probably is a bit that way now to entice readers into clicking on that headline or whatever. But no matter what reporters or journalists say about the victim or woman, in this case, when we think about women as rape victims, that it's never the fault of that person that they were abused, no matter what. So when we read things about they were drunk and they were wearing this and they'd had many sexual partners and all of that stuff, that's completely irrelevant, actually, when we're reading about sexual violence, because none of that stuff actually asks for abuse at all. You almost want to like read a bit between the lines as well. You know, I think some reporters will choose to dwell on those details when actually that stuff's got nothing to do with the violence or the abuse that occurred. So just being really critical about it.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.